The reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have him sit down to eat, and he will come down and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our scripture passage last week was about not being attached to earthly possessions. And today's passage begins by re-emphasizing that. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. Jesus says to put your treasure in heaven, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. Let faith be your treasure. Direct your heart towards God. And faith was the theme of our first reading that Billy read before we began our meal together. The importance of faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, the promise of another land, the promise given to our ancestors. The second half of these sayings from Jesus is about the urgency of directing your heart toward God. Don't wait. Do it now, Jesus says. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. When we gather every week around these tables, we sing together, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." And this confession of faith underpins everything that we do together, our worship, prayer, work, fellowship. It's all grounded upon this conviction and this hope. It is a hope. Today I want to talk about that last piece, that Christ will come again piece, and the kingdom that he will bring with him. We don't use the word kingdom very much anymore. We don't have many kings, at least not in the modern Western world. In our sung Eucharistic prayer, we use the word commonwealth instead. Some people like the word kingdom. Some people talk about God's reign, God's rule, a new era. But whatever we call it, the promise is that it is coming. The very first line of this passage, you highlighted that little flock, says, "Do not be afraid." Or in other words, fear not. Like the angels say to the shepherds when Jesus is born, fear not. You find this many times in Luke's gospel, a consistent theme. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that's the first thing we know about this, that it comes from God's good pleasure. Again, in our Eucharistic prayer, we sing that God gave us food and drink for our pleasure. And God has promised a better world for us, for our pleasure as well. The second half of the passage focuses on what we do as we get ready and be prepared for the coming of the kingdom. But the first word, and it's always the primary word, is that God gives us the kingdom. And it is God's good pleasure to share it with us. Like the bread we receive in this meal, the body of Christ. The coming reign of God is a gift. It is always a gift that we receive, hands out held. But it is a gift not according to our will, but to God's will. This verse was a key verse for the confessing church in Nazi Germany. When the confessing church, so those who were opposed to Hitler and the Nazis, wrote the Barman Declaration in 1934, they drew upon this verse that the word in German, it was Reich, the Third Reich. The Reich is God's alone. It is not that of human beings. And our allegiance is solely to the kingdom that God brings. Keep your eyes on the prize. That kingdom is not here yet. Christ has promised that it is coming. God has made a decision and has continually testified to that throughout the prophets, throughout Scripture, and most importantly, through his Son, Jesus Christ. But we live in an in-between time where we see signs of that inbreaking of God's love and justice and peace and hope in our world, and yet we are so aware of how far we are from that. Luke wrote his gospel a full generation after Jesus died and rose again. And in that time, this generation of new Christians, followers of the Christ, were getting restless. When would he come again? He had promised to come again. And Luke is responding to that concern. How long, O Lord, must we wait? And we're still asking that question 2,000 years later. If it was a challenge for Luke and the communities that he ministered to, it is definitely a challenge for us. And one that we should not take lightly. We cannot pretend that it is fully realized among us, even and especially not in and among Christian community. We try to mimic that. We try to create that. But here too, we recognize that we are broken. And we come together to be nourished by something outside of ourselves, by the inbreaking and promise of healing and resurrection. Jesus tells this parable about slaves waiting for their master. And if you're like me, this will make you a little bit uncomfortable. Slavery has been part of many civilizations over the course of history, and it is yet another example of human sinfulness. We did not create other human beings, and yet, time and time again, in society after society, we have chosen to enslave people. And Jesus and his audience took these systems, broken, sinful systems of human existence and relationship, and took them for granted. And this is just an example that people would use, a master and his slaves. And of course, the slaves have to be ready for when the master comes home late in the evening to unlock the door and let him in. But Jesus does something here. He uses a system that is familiar to his audience. Of course, in that historical context, it looked a little bit different than what it manifested itself as in the Americas. But Jesus took that example, and the real moment of grace, the twist, the surprise where God breaks in, is the second half of verse 37. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. That's not what masters did. It's not our, those are not the traditional roles. This is an upending of expectation, and Jesus consistently does this in and through his parables. The Good Samaritan, right? You don't expect a Samaritan to help a Jew. We were talking about sheep at our table. The shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to go find that one lost sheep. These are not the ways that people usually interact with each other and their world. But they are the ways that God interacts with us. And the way that God comes to us and serves us. This parable is realized in practice as Jesus comes to his disciples, and at the Last Supper, he has them sit down. He serves them, and he washes their feet. He upends the master, and in that case, student relationship, and shows us what it means to truly lead and to truly serve. God is constantly taking the forms of our broken human existence and inverting them, transforming them, turning them upside down. Whatever other spatial metaphors you need, can we think of taste metaphors, sight metaphors, touch metaphors, time metaphors? How do we communicate that surprising inbreaking of God that upends the things we had taken for granted? And in Christianity, the paradigmatic example of this is the cross, a horrific, brutal instrument of oppression that God used to demonstrate love for humankind. That God used death to defeat death. And here, God uses an example with slaves to teach us how to love and serve. We don't know when Christ will come again, but it is the promise that we cling to, the promise of resurrection, of radical new life, new relationships. And we gather each week in hope to build up each other's faith in that promise, despite the darkness we feel all around us, to let Christ be our guiding light.